Good evening. Very good to be here. And very good to have this opportunity to share something that I've been studying over the last month or two. This is a subject that I've been studying with my family. There's an old joke about a kid asked their mom, what does it mean when the preacher does this? And she said, well, that means stand up. He said, well, what does it mean when he says this? And that means sit down. He said, well, what does it mean when the preacher looks at his watch? And she said, baby, that don't mean a thing. So this is a subject I've been studying on. There's a lot of information that I'm going to try to share with us tonight so that we can be edified and that we can also learn. I heard a phrase the other day that I'm surprised I've never heard before. It's that the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And when you think about that, you realize that the Old Testament is given as an example. We have this physical example of what we need to do spiritually when we get to the New Testament. And on that, I want to talk about leprosy. So I think we're all pretty aware that leprosy represents sin. But I want to talk a little bit more about it. So leprosy today is known as Hansen's disease. Before antibiotics, Hansen's disease came with the death penalty. If you got Hansen's disease, you were pretty much guaranteed to die of leprosy. Today, we do have antibiotics. The last leper colony in the United States was in Carville, Louisiana, and they closed their doors in 1999. That's about the time that they were able to come up with a treatment. So if you think about that, that's only been 22 years ago. 22 years ago, leprosy came with a death penalty and a life of seclusion. And that was the biggest thing that the Old Testament highlighted, is that once you got leprosy, you were secluded. Now, now they say worldwide, less than 20,000 cases. But what it actually ended up doing, what leprosy does to the body, it reduces sensation, numbness, and causes weakness in the hands and feet. Now, when we think about comparing that to sin, leprosy and sin, both cause a reduced sensation. You know, the more you sin, the easier it gets, the less pricking of the heart is there. It's something that God was very specific and had a plan when he developed this disease to be on man and for the comparison of leprosy to sin. One of the things that really strikes me about this, so we're going to read a little bit about the laws and the rules for leprosy in the Old Testament. But like I said, that reduced sensation. So if you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll start in the New Testament. And we're going to go from the New Testament to the Old Testament and back. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. This is a new Bible to me. My old sword finally gave out on me and had to trade it in for a new one. So this is still a new version for me. But I want to go to Hebrews chapter 3. And let's start at verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of these things which were spoken later, but Christ was faithful as son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the days of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So this is actually taken from a psalm. It's actually Psalm 95. And I thought this encompassed a lot of what I want to cover tonight. So let's actually go over to Psalm 95. So starting at verse 8 in that Hebrews, it actually starts quoting the psalm. So turn over to Psalm 95. And starting at verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, all as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me through, though they had seen my works. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. So once again, we kind of see that example of hidden in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. It's very, there's no accident, there's no hidden agenda here that these words were spoken in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. But I think it's very interesting that that it refers to Moses and into the wilderness and into that journey coming out of Egypt. There's a great relationship between that and what we do as Christians. We come out of sin and into and you go through the wilderness and into the promised land. And this is wilderness that we're trekking through, looking for that promised land. So let's go ahead and get into it. So let's go ahead and turn over to Leviticus. And this is going to tell us exactly what the test for leprosy was. So one of the first things I want to point out is that there were several skin conditions that were considered leprosy. But Hansen's disease is the one that was incurable. Some of these diseases and skin afflictions would actually go away. And so they had a test to find out if this is really leprosy or if it's not. The problem with leprosy is that it is spread by droplets. So pretty much the same way COVID is spread. So if we think about how quickly COVID is spread in a generation and an environment where we're actually a little more separated, we don't have to rely on each other as much as these people did. You know, the Israelites, when they were in a congregation, they relied heavily upon each other, and it was very close quarters. So if somebody got leprosy, it was very important that you separated them from the rest of everybody else. So let's just go ahead and start at chapter 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priest. The priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair and the infection has turned white and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. So I want to stop right there. It's not an accident that this is a disease. And if I got a disease right now, you'd say Joel is sick. And they talk about sickness in the Old Testament. They talk about sickness in the New Testament. But they specifically refer to leprosy as being unclean. That's no accident, especially when we compare leprosy to sin. When we sin, we were unclean. So let's go ahead and continue. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate him from who has the infection for 7 days. The priest shall look on him on the seventh day, and if it's in his eyes, the infection is not changed and the infection is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. The priest shall look at him again on the seventh day, and if the infection has faded and the mark is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spreads further on the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest. The priest shall look, and if the scab is spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So the priest had a, and this continues through this whole chapter, pretty specific guidelines on what they're supposed to do to identify leprosy. And once again, it's not by accident that it does not ever say he was sick with leprosy. It says he was unclean. So once you're determined to be unclean, you must have some separation from the community. It makes me think of how in 1 John chapter 3, It talks about how sin has to be separated from God, that God cannot abhor sin. He cannot have sin. It's a darkness to him, and he cannot have that with him. And it says the same thing that is being said here about leprosy, that sin is unclean, that it has to be separated. It cannot be in his sight, and that we cannot be with God if we're sinful. It's very specific, and it's astounding the more you read it and the more you think about this correlation between the two. But let's go ahead and go over to Leviticus 14. So when we get to Leviticus 14, this is the law of cleansing a leper. Now, just kind of keep in mind that I said leprosy was a death penalty. If you got leprosy until 1999, when we came up with the combination of medications, this was a death penalty. Leviticus 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." And notice how he's using the word cleansing, not healed, cleansing. "Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the, camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. And the priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean. And he shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe in the water, and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days." And this continues about that cleansing process. It's pretty significant, and I think it's very interesting that that it's not just being making sure that they are clean. They had to shave off all their hair on their body, but they also had to make a sacrifice. They had there was an atonement for this cleansing, and so this gives the law of what to do if you're cleansed from leprosy. Now this brings to mind the question of, why would there be a law to be clean from leprosy when leprosy was a death penalty? How could anybody be cleansed from leprosy? Now, when we think of leprosy, the first thing in the Old Testament, the first person we think of is Naaman. So let's go ahead and turn over to 2 Kings chapter 5. So if you're not familiar with the story of Naaman, Naaman was a captain of the army, King Aram. And King Aram went and took captives of the tribe of the after the kingdom had been divided between Judah and the other tribes. He's actually taken captives. And so Naaman is one of the captains of this army. And Naaman was a leper. So let's just go ahead and we'll start at verse 1. So Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke to the girl who is from the land of Israel. The king of Aram said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes." I kind of want to stop there. There could be a lesson in each one of these examples that I bring to you. But the one example that I really want to highlight here is that Nobody had been cured of leprosy. Why would this girl say, if you had been seen by the prophet, you would be cured? And that's a whole lesson in itself. But we will keep going. So Naaman believed her. He went to his king, asked for a letter. And we'll pick up at verse 6. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as the letter comes to you, behold, I have sent you Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." Verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." So this king recognized immediately that this was an incurable disease. This was a death sentence that this man had, and he's coming to him to be healed. So let's continue on at verse 8. It happened when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elijah. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child as he was clean. So like I said, there's a lesson in each one of these examples. We could go on and on about the relevance of this to the plan of salvation, how so many men look for something great and amazing that they have to do, some amazing sacrifice, that it can't be just as simple as repenting, believing, and being baptized. But what I do really want to point out here is that Elijah did not ask him to go through the cleansing process that was set up for the Israelites. And that's because this man was not an Israelite. So we have a law that was written, and here is a leper being healed, but that law apparently was not for this man. Because if it was, that would have been Elijah's request. Tell the man he has to go shave his body. I will check him. If there's any sign of leprosy, then we'll say he's cleared. We'll send him to the priest. You know, we'll go through this whole process, but he doesn't ask him to do that. And I believe the reason, this is my opinion, is because he is not an Israelite. So let's talk about somebody that was an Israelite who got leprosy. So turn with me over to Exodus chapter 4. So this is the first example I could find of somebody having leprosy and being healed. So Exodus chapter 4, we were talking about when Moses is being given power by God. So let's start at verse 1. So this is before Moses he's already been separated. He had killed the soldier. He had spent the time in Miriam the land away from Egypt. He's been there 40 years, and now God is coming to him and telling him, "Hey, this is what I need you to do." So starting at chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So he's talking about what he's going to say to the Israelites. The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into the bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. So once again, we're seeing somebody that has leprosy, and God tells him, put your hand in your bosom and pull it out, and he's healed. But notice that this is before the law was given. This was before the Levitical law was given, the guidelines that were given to the priest to say, to look and establish that it is leprosy and what the process is for him to be cleansed. But I do want to point out the significance that Naaman was healed by the power of God. Moses was healed by the power of God. There was no medications. There was nothing that healed these men except for the power of God. The power of God through Elijah and God's own direct hand, his own power being displayed in Moses. So once again, we're looking at this law, this Levitical law that was written for somebody. So let's go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 12. So we actually read this just a couple of minutes ago. And this is when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. We'll go ahead and start at verse 1 again. So let's read through that again. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. And the man, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come out of the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, hear now my words. Is there a prophet among you? I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. When then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow, and Aaron turned towards Miriam. So now we see that Miriam has leprosy, and Aaron immediately recognizes what this means. So let's continue in verse 11. Then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us, in which we have acted foolishly, and which we have sinned. So let's just stop right there. So he realizes that Miriam has leprosy. He realizes that this is a death penalty, that she's going to have to be separated. At this time, the Levitical law had been established. He knew what this meant for her. He knew that she was going to have to be separated from everybody. He knew that this was going to be her ultimate demise. And they also knew that it was because of their sin. They were unclean because of this sin. So let's continue on. Verse 12, oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, oh God, heal her, I pray. But the Lord says to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not bear the shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people moved out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. So Miriam was healed. This is the only person I could find in the Old Testament who actually followed who that law was specific to. There's no other example of anybody in the Old Testament being healed from leprosy. So now we have to think about that was written for a reason. It wasn't just written because, you know, for guidelines, there would not have been a law saying that if they are cleansed, this is the process for them. The law would have stopped at, this is how to find out if somebody has leprosy and that you have to put them away. But because there was that law, one person in the Old Testament was saved by that law. I can't help but think about Noah. 8 people saved in one ark. That ark held all 2 of every animal, 7 of the clean ones. How could that not be enough room for more people? But only 8 people were saved in that ark. Only one person was saved through this law in the Old Testament. All of the people that were healed in this Old Testament, so we've got Naaman, Moses, and Miriam, all were done by the power of God. There was no intervention of man. Man could not have saved these people. Man knew that if somebody had leprosy, this was a death penalty. So when we get to the New Testament, we see Jesus come along. Jesus cleanses the leper, the one leper, and we've got an example of it in Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 5. And let's just turn over there real quick. So Luke chapter 5, we'll jump to verse 13. Let's go ahead and read through 12. While he was in this one of the cities talking about Christ, behold, there was a man covered with the leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as the testimony to them. I can imagine the surprise on this priest's face, because obviously he had learned this law and he'd never used it. And here comes a man saying, I've been cleansed of leprosy. And there's a good chance that the priest was aware of who this man was, because he would have had to go and see him and say, yes, this is leprosy. You have to be separated. We also have the example of the 10 lepers. So this whole book, we have an example of the 10 lepers, which I'd love to keep going on with it. This leper, so that makes 11. We've got Naaman, 12, Miriam, 13, and Moses, 14. 14 people in this whole Bible that were healed of leprosy. Now, it does say in Matthew 10 that when God gives the power to the apostles, he gives them the power to heal and to cleanse people of leprosy. But going back to the example of Naaman, how easy is it to be cleansed of our sin? Our sin comes with the death penalty. When we sin, we are, in Romans, the wages of sin are death. When we are sinners, we have that death penalty. And anybody who reads the Bible and believes the Bible knows that sin comes with the death penalty. But just like Naaman, God is not asking us to do something great. He's not asking you to go out and build a monument to him and do all these almost impossible things for a man to do. He's asking you to believe him, to hear his word, to believe him, to repent. I loved that Obed had picked the scripture of, when you had leprosy, you had to cry out, I'm unclean. Our repentance is us saying, I am unclean. I have the death penalty. I'm unclean. We have to confess that, Lord, that Christ is the Lord, and God raised Christ from the dead, and that he has that power to raise us from the dead as well. Then we must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And then we must live a faithful life. I would love to keep going and going, but I just think it's very interesting that we have this example. We have the New Testament hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament revealed in the New. And we have that plan. And anybody who has sinned, you have a death penalty on you. That is, there's no other way to say it. You're unclean. And the only way to be cleansed is through the blood of Christ. And even as Christians, when we sin, we are unclean. But we have the opportunity to repent. Confess your sins one to another. We have that opportunity to be cleansed. We don't have to be unclean. God has given us the through his son, through his power, the ability to be cleansed. And now is a great opportunity. We have brothers and sisters here. We have water. What hinders you? So if there's anybody here who needs that opportunity, needs to take advantage of it, now's a great time as we stand and sing our song of invitation.